нашим ЗСО і вільному народу, бо немає переводу козацькому роду. Слава нашим ЗСО, бо де мир та згода, бо немає переводу козацькому роду.
Ой, у полі калинонька файно розцвітає, наші хлопці соколоньки всіх перемагають, буде нашим козаченькам слава по заслузі, не зламати червоненько калину у лузі.
Слава
artist of Ukraine, Yaroslav Rudenko, with a tribute to Ukraine's armed forces, Slava Nashim ZSU. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос», радіо нашого коріння, на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. При мікрофоні Павіна. Добрий вечір and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm your host, Pavlina. We've got a great show for you packed with information today. We've got a book review that is a recent book about Putin's war against Ukraine. As well, Ukrainian Jewish heritage we're bringing back with an update on Purim in Ukraine. It's a holiday that's starting today, very shortly actually. Here in Vancouver anyways, it's halfway over in Ukraine. Daria Lesenko of Victoria with a reminder to watch the Nash Holos YouTube channel and a sneak preview of an interview on the topic of Ukraine's Oscar-winning film, 20 Days in Mariupol. As well, the news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kyiv Independent, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and, of course, great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a very recent release, Local. This is Adrian Glynn of Vancouver, who recently released an album as a tribute to his Ukrainian grandparents who fled war-torn Europe after World War II and came to Canada. You can hear the interview with him on last week's program if you missed it. Here is another song from his album, You're Just a Place That I Know, and a song called I Will Wait to Hear From You.
When the army leave all the spirits at our doors, I will all the spirits at our doors.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 60 years. Since 1963, the Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holos listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit www.shevchenkofoundation.ca.
Вітаю, це Антон Лисенко. Підписуйтеся на YouTube-канал «Радіо Наш Голос». Для вас ми запрошуємо у нашу студію відомих канадських та українських експертів, політиків та культурних діячів. Ми говоримо про реалії сьогодення та аналізуємо події, що минули. Наш Голос. Радіо українського коріння.
Вражої охрани втекли два отамани, зірвалися соколики на волю. Поблизу гуляй поля в пологах зупинились, у хаті біля старої верби. Обидва всі в ранах, махновські партизани, зцілили після розстрілів в Криму. Хильнули трохи смаги, та й пісню затягнули про батька та й про доленьку лиху. Гей, друже, гей, брате, болячі мої рани, а в грудях ще дужче пече. Навіщо, навіщо козацькі отамани москаликам підставили плече? Не вірте червоним, не вірте комунякам, слова їх, що полова на вітру. Ми Врангеля здолали, ми перекопи взяли, за них метою виграли війну. За подвиги, за наші чекісти комісари, могилами віддячили в степу. Було на 40 тисяч, а стало 8 сотень, що вирвались із пастки у Криму. Гей, друже, гей, брате, скажіть всьому народу, що нам оті москалі не брати. Ми билися за волю, вони за нові тюрми, і з Леніним, і з Троцьким на чолі.
And Taras Jytinsky with an anarchist song from about 100 years or so ago, Spid Vrazhoyi Okhrane, from the enemy's prison. And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, discovering unknown and untold stories from the past and present of Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage. Purim is a holiday Jews observe in memory of an ancient Jewish victory. In Sephardic Hebrew, it is pronounced Purim. In Ashkenazic Hebrew, Purim. Most English speakers in the West pronounce it Purim. The story of Purim is recounted in the book of Esther in the Bible. It's a story of treachery and warfare in ancient Israel, but it has eerie parallels with the bloody 20th century in Europe, and sadly, again in the 21st. About 2,500 years ago, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. He banished the Jewish people from Israel to Babylonia. 50 years later, Babylonia was defeated by Persia, the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. Ahasuerus was the second Persian king, also known as Xerxes the Great. One day he threw a lavish party and ordered his queen Vashti to dance at the extravagant feast. She refused, which infuriated the king. On the advice of his counselors, he deposed and banished her, as an example to other women who might be emboldened to disobey their husbands. The king now needed a new queen, so he sent his men in search for someone even more beautiful than Vashti. In the capital city Shushan, a Jewish orphan named Hadassah lived with her uncle Mordecai, the leader of the Jews. She was kind and gentle and very beautiful. When the king's men came for Hadassah, Mordecai said to his niece, "Don't be afraid, go, but don't tell them you are Jewish. Use your Persian name Esther. God will watch over you." As soon as the king saw her, he was struck by her beauty and promptly chose her as his new queen. Esther kept her secret, but did not forget her Jewish faith. To help her keep track of the days and remember which day was the Sabbath, she appointed 7 maidservants, one for each day of the week. Every day, Mordecai sat outside the palace gate, waiting for a visit and news from Esther. One day he overheard 2 men plotting to kill the king. He told Esther, who revealed the plot to the king and saved his life. Mordecai's act of kindness was preserved in the chronicles of the king. Soon after, the king appointed Haman, the richest man in the kingdom, as his viceroy, or prime minister. He was now the king's second in command. Haman wore a large medallion engraved with a picture of an idol. All the king's subjects were ordered to bow down to Haman. Everyone did, except Mordecai. A Jew is forbidden to worship or honor idols. Haman was furious. When he found out Mordecai was Jewish, he plotted to kill not just Mordecai, but all the Jews in the empire. Meanwhile, Mordecai learned of the plot and shared it with Esther. Risking her own life, she revealed her Jewish heritage to the king and Haman's diabolical plot to have her and her people killed. The king ordered Haman to be hanged on the very same gallows Haman had built for Mordecai. Mordecai was promoted to Haman's high position, and Jews were granted protection throughout the land. The king also allowed Mordecai and Esther to write a decree allowing the Jews to defend themselves from attacks. As a result, on the 13th day of the Hebrew month Adar, the Jews defeated 500 of their enemies, including Haman's 10 sons, who were hanged in Shushan. Purim is celebrated on the 14th day of Adar, the day after the Jews emerged victorious against Haman. Mordecai and Esther called the holiday Purim, which literally means lots, because Haman cast lots to determine the date he would carry out his genocidal plan against the Jews. To the Jewish community of Ukraine, Stalin and Hitler are the 2 Hamans of the 20th century. Like Haman's 10 sons, in 1946, 10 of Hitler's top associates were put to death by hanging. An 11th Nazi, Hermann Göring, committed suicide the night before the execution, a parallel to the suicide of Haman's daughter. There are rumors that Göring was a transvestite, making that an even more accurate parallel. In 1953, like Haman had done centuries earlier and Hitler had done just a decade ago, Joseph Stalin was planning to mass murder all the Jews in his empire. Stalin had a visceral and vicious hatred for Jews. After he realized in 1948 that Israel would not be a Soviet colony, his hatred escalated. He liquidated all Jewish cultural institutions and publications. He had Jews arrested on false denunciations, carried out mass firings of Jews and mass executions of professionals, including doctors. All over the Soviet Union, anti-Jewish meetings were being held. Stalin's plan was to deport 2 to 4 million Soviet Jews to Siberia, and leave them there to die of starvation, hypothermia, and disease. In train stations all over the USSR, train cars were being requisitioned to carry huge caravans of Jews to Siberia, beginning on the 6th of March, just a few days after Purim. But just as for Haman, the tables suddenly turned. There is a popular sentiment among Jews about a Purim miracle in the USSR in 1953. According to the story, a Rebbe was asked to give a special blessing on Purim for the Jews of the Soviet Union. They sensed the Jews were in grave danger. Instead of giving a blessing, however, the Rebbe told them a story about the experience of a Jewish man who had been voting in the early days of the Soviet Union. He was apolitical, but all citizens were obliged by the state to perform the ritual of voting. The man heard people cheering for the candidate, handpicked by the state, of course. He didn't want to join the crowd in cheering, but was afraid not to. So, while out loud he was cheering, "Hurrah, hurrah," in his heart he was thinking in Hebrew the words "hurrah," which mean "he is evil." So, with Stalin in mind, the Rebbe's 1953 gathering began chanting, "Hurrah." That very night, Purim in 1953, Stalin suffered his fatal stroke. After the collapse of communism, Ukraine's Jewish communities began to rebuild and reclaim their ancient traditions, which on Purim include performances depicting the history of the holiday and the unity of the Jewish people, costume parties, circus-like entertainment, gift-giving and acts of charity, and of course plenty of delicious traditional Jewish food, including kreplach, meat-filled dumplings often served in soup, and triangular cookies filled with poppy seeds or jam called hamantaschen, meaning Haman's ears. But 7 decades after death put a stop to the genocidal plans of Joseph Stalin against the Jews, another tyrant in the Kremlin is doing his best to rehabilitate Stalin's murderous legacy. Vladimir Putin is borrowing directly from Soviet dictator's playbook in accusing the government of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who happens to be Jewish, of being a band of drug addicts and neo-Nazis. For Jews from the lands of the former USSR, this refrain conjures up horrifying memories of life under Stalin during his final years in power. This year, Ukrainian Jews are celebrating a third Purim under fire. While the rockets continue to fall on homes, synagogues, churches, hospitals, kindergartens, and the world's attention has waned, Ukrainian Jews continue the hard work of rebuilding their communities that were decimated by the Nazis and Soviets. Chabad and Jewish benevolent societies continue their charitable work and supporting their communities, despite the hardships that Russia's war on Ukraine has caused. An unexpected result is a renewed and growing interest in Judaism. Many rabbis in Ukraine are seeing Jews who previously identified as atheists now streaming into synagogues and rediscovering their heritage, of which Purim celebrations are one joyous occasion. Purim is celebrated on the 14th day in the month of Adar using the Jewish calendar. According to the Gregorian calendar, Purim 2024 begins tonight, March 23rd at sundown, and ends at sundown tomorrow, Sunday, March 24th. This is Pavlina with Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, wishing Jews in Ukraine and around the world a joyous and richly blessed Purim. Until next time, Shalom. Join us again soon for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
This is Anton Lysenko for Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our in-depth interviews on the Nash Holos YouTube channel with Canadian and Ukrainian politicians, experts, and artists. Find the link in the podcast show notes or simply search Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on YouTube. Enhance your Ukrainian culture journey with Nash Holos.
Today we will talk about the first Ukrainian Oscar, the scandal with Disney video broadcast of the award presentation to Mstislav Chernov, and the realities of Ukrainian cinema in wartime with Roman Kabachi, historian, publicist and media expert, Daria Lysenko, specially for Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. The full version of this interview is available on our YouTube channel. Subscribe.
рішення про те, які фільми, тобто які номінації будуть показані в короткій версії, було задовго до самої церемонії. Mm-hmm. Це образливо для нас, це образливо для жертв цієї війни. Ну, вочевидь, не можна сказати, що Оскар ніколи не був політичним. От, і, як ви сказали, те, що стрічку про політичного в'язня Навального було нагороджено минулого року, тобто це, в принципі, є політичне рішення. Але так само звучали факти про те, що передовсім за мистецьку якість наш фільм нагороджено, не лише тому, що це фільм про теперішню війну. Промова Мстислава Чернова була настільки сильною, що представники Діснея побоялися її транслювати ще раз. От, тому що ну, все було відіграно настільки бездоганно, що це було на таких емоціях для нас всіх, що ми не могли повірити, що цю промову потім не покажуть. От. Але головне, щоб фільм прозвучав і що люди ходитимуть на нього. От він збирає нагороди, тобто Оскар – це вже не перша нагорода цього фільму. Багато хто підходить ну, в світі до того, що мистецтво мусить бути поза політикою, а ну, українська війна є такою, що постійно треба говорити про неї, постійно нагадувати. І, власне, творці фільму, вони наголошують на тому, що це лише перші 20 днів цієї війни в окремо взятому місті. А ракети прилітають щодня, обстріли таких міст, як Херсон чи Харків, щодня. І це просто багатьом у світі важко усвідомити, що ну, які зусилля Україна і ті, хто Україні допомагають, витрачають на те, щоб протистояти цій навалі. Ми не знаємо, скільки нас чекає ще Ізюмів, Буч, коли ми визволимо наступні території. А зараз, коли ми очікуємо рішення Нижньої палати США про допомогу, то ми бачимо, що Росія це використовує і наступає по всіх флангах. Тобто мистецтво в даному випадку, культурна дипломатія повинна працювати на повну силу, але, на жаль, багато хто навіть в Україні не підходить до цього з належною повагою, з належною увагою. Ну, треба, щоб стара діаспора працювала з новою діаспорою, тобто, щоб люди не відчували себе покинутими. Знов-таки, ну, я знаю, як це на польському ґрунті працює. Поселенці з акції «Вісла», вони спершу були в шоці з того, скільки нових українців приїхало, дуже часто сприймали їх за русифікованих, але зараз трошки взяли в оборот. Недільні школи, гуртки, церква, все разом це включилося в процес, і ті, хто хочуть залишитися українцями, ті, хто хочуть залишитися при українській культурі, їм треба показати, що можливості є, що є з ким говорити, куди ходити. І це працювати.
You can find Daria Lesenko's full interview with media expert and journalist Roman Kabachi on the Nash Holos YouTube channel. There, Roman shares insights with her into the documentary 20 Days in Mariupol, which recently received an Oscar at this year's Academy Awards. He also describes the challenges facing Ukrainian cinema during wartime. In Ukrainian with English subtitles. Search for us on YouTube or check the podcast show notes for the link. And again, make sure to check out the Nash Holos YouTube channel and do join the many new subscribers who are enjoying the information and the fascinating interviews that Anton and Daria Lysenko bring to us. And if you haven't seen the movie 20 Days in Mariupol, although it's not easy to watch, definitely it is a must watch. And I'll put the link in the show notes as well. Coming up next, a song by Marena and Company. And it is a song about a nasty neighbor, something Ukraine knows a lot about. Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Павліна. Ukraine is under deadly attack, and Ukraine War Amps is asking for your help with a donation today. Funds are desperately needed by Ukrainian defenders for bulletproof jackets, helmets, walkie-talkies, food, water, and gas, and by civilians, including children, for food, water, and medications, and when possible, escape to safety. Please donate today to Ukraine War Amps via PayPal, e-transfer to ukrainewaramps@gmail.com, or visit ukrainewaramps.ca.
Чорне море, Чорне море. Гарне море, Чорне море, гарне море, а все одно Чорна гора, мене моя Чорна гора. Ніхто не зна, ніхто не зна, я сховався, місяць не зна. Моя киця, нення моя чорна гора.
Edmonton and their most recent CD, about their fifth, I think. Budmohe is the name of the album, and that song was Chorna Mora, Black Sea. Welcome to Knishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, stories about Ukraine and Ukrainians in English.
In this edition of Knishka Corner, we will be discussing Samuel Ramani's book, Putin's War on Ukraine, Russia's Campaign for Global Counter-Revolution. Published in 2023, Samuel Ramani's Putin's War on Ukraine is a comprehensive analysis of the causes, events, and impacts of Putin's special operation. The very first sentence of this book is a stark reminder of how Putin's war on Ukraine began. On the 24th of February 2022, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the start of a special military operation aimed at the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine. The first chapter outlines the structure of Ramani's book. The next three chapters discuss the history of Putin's decision to invade Ukraine. They explain the Russian efforts to overturn the Euromaidan revolution and prop up the government of Viktor Yanukovych, the subsequent Russian takeover of Crimea and parts of eastern Ukraine, and the run-up to Putin's decision to launch a full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. The next three chapters outline the inadequacies of Russia's military forces, its losses and successes on the battlefield, and the results of Ukraine's counteroffensive. The final chapters describe the results of Putin's failed invasion, the impact of sanctions on the Russian economy, and the changing status of Russia as a global power. On February the 24th, 2022, Putin decided to launch a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. The scale of Russia's invasion of Ukraine is unprecedented in modern history and, in terms of human costs, is Moscow's largest military intervention in the post-1945 period. Although the world community looked on in horror when the invasion began, there were warning signs before the tanks rolled into Ukraine. Russia had not stopped interfering in Ukrainian politics since Ukraine became independent in 1991. Viktor Yanukovych led the pro-Russian faction in Ukraine, and with his overthrow in 2014, Russia decided to limit Ukraine's ability to forge links to the West. Their troops moved into Crimea and parts of Donbas and Luhansk. They declared Crimea to be part of Russia. But there was ongoing Ukrainian resistance to the takeover in the eastern provinces. Despite several peace agreements to stop Russian military incursions, Russia maintained the frozen conflict in the eastern provinces. When Putin decided it was time to launch a full-scale invasion in 2022, he justified this military intervention with various false accusations. Ukraine was committing genocide against its Russian-speaking people. NATO was trying to use Ukraine as a base for operations against Russia. Ukraine was creating biological, chemical, nuclear weapons programs. And Ukraine was a Nazi country which needed to be demilitarized. The Russian invasion of 2022 did not result in a full-scale takeover of Ukraine. The resistance, led by Volodymyr Zelensky, was fierce as Ukrainians defended their territories. What was billed as a three-day march to triumph in Kyiv turned into a long, brutal, and deadly battle between Russian and Ukrainian forces. The narrative that Russia was the world's second strongest military has been eviscerated, while the story of Ukrainian patriotic resilience took its place. Russian citizens supported the war effort, and those that spoke out against it either left the country or were arrested and sent to prison. Major critics of Putin were imprisoned, including Alexei Navalny and Vladimir Karamurza. Media criticism was outlawed. Putin's authoritarian regime became even more entrenched than it had been before the war, as sanctions expanded and impacted the Russian economy. However, Putin underestimated the West's support for the Ukrainian democracy, as well as Zelensky's leadership. Russian war crimes multiplied in cities such as Bucha and Mariupol, infiltration camps, and in the forced removal of Ukrainian children to Russia. At the same time, Putin expanded his relationships with countries such as India, China, Iran, and North Korea. As a result, there has been a marked change in Russia's status and influence in the global community of nations. Russia's ability to lobby for its interests in Western countries has greatly diminished. Rahmani has provided a thorough and comprehensive analysis of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. His conclusions about the war were made in 2023. Since then, the reluctance of the Republican Party in the United States Congress to provide funds for military support of Ukraine has resulted in setbacks for the Ukrainian war effort. It remains to be seen what the future will hold for Ukraine, with an American presidential election in 2024. Rahmani concludes, "Whatever the outcome, the future of European security and the rules-based international order hang in the balance." Rahmani's book is thoroughly researched with over 100 pages of detailed footnotes. Readers who are interested in the history of Ukraine, Russian aggression, and global politics will definitely want to read this book. Dr. Samuel Rahmani completed his doctorate in 2021 at the University of Oxford. He teaches politics and international relations at the University of Oxford and is an associate fellow at the Royal United Services Institute. He is a regular contributor to publications such as Foreign Policy and The Washington Post. He has appeared on the BBC, CNN, and Al Jazeera. He also advises government agencies in the United Kingdom, the United States, as well as NATO. Putin's War in Ukraine is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you, Myra, for another thorough and thoughtful review. Join us again soon for another Knyzhka Corner book review with Myra Junik here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In the meantime, if you'd like to listen again to this or Myra's previous reviews, or read the transcript, you can find them archived at our website, www.nashholos.com. And now, the latest news from Ukraine, courtesy the Kiev Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. Russian forces launched dozens of missiles towards Kiev early in the morning of March 21st, injuring at least 13 people and causing damage to homes and infrastructure throughout the city. According to Kyiv Mayor Vitaly Klitschko, at least two people were hospitalized. Serhiy Popko, head of the Kyiv City Military Administration, said one of the Shevchenkivsky District victims was an 11-year-old girl. The attack damaged apartment buildings, a kindergarten, a business, infrastructure, and vehicles. Emergency services are working at the attack sites, and the full extent of the damage is being investigated amid ongoing attacks. The Air Force reported that Russian forces launched two ballistic missiles as well as 29 cruise missiles from the Volgodonsk area in Rostov Oblast. All 31 missiles were downed by Ukraine's air defense. A series of explosions occurred in the capital around 5 a.m., Klitschko said. Kyiv independent correspondents reported hearing over a dozen in the city. Falling rock fragments in the Podilsky district caused a fire to break out at a transformer substation and at a two-story non-residential building. A residential building in the Shevchenkivsky district was also hit, and residents were evacuated from the burning building. A warehouse of the online retailer Rosetka was damaged, while 99 employees were on shift. While the building, cars, and goods suffered heavy damage, no staff members were hurt as they were in a shelter during the attack. Missile fragments also hit civilian areas elsewhere in Kyiv Oblast, damaging houses and injuring two people. The missiles that Russia launched in the mass attack against Kyiv on March 21st had an estimated total of 1,500 foreign components, President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his evening address. The 31 missiles consisted of two Kinzhal ballistic missiles and 29 KH-101 KH-555 cruise missiles. A single Russian KH-101 cruise missile uses at least 53 types of foreign-made parts, while Kinzhal uses at least 49 foreign-produced components, according to Zelensky. A major part of the components in Russian missiles are made by companies in the free world and imported to Russia through various gray schemes, Zelensky said. It is crucial to block such schemes and all those who facilitate them. More sanctions are needed, Zelensky said. This must be stopped, and the world has the needed tools. Despite extensive Western sanctions aimed at suffocating Russia's war effort, Moscow continues to obtain sanctioned goods, such as microchips, via third-party countries, fueling its defense production. There are currently 790 people remaining in Chasiv Yar, a town just 5 kilometers from the front line in Donetsk Oblast, Governor Vadim Falashkin reported on March 20th. The town had a population of 12,000 in January 2022. Around 70% of the town has been destroyed since the start of the full-scale invasion. The vast majority of the remaining population are elderly people who refused evacuation. We are still providing locals with humanitarian aid, Falashkin said. Russian attacks on Chasiv Yar regularly kill and injure the civilians left in the town. Earlier this month, spokesperson of the Khortytsia group of Ukraine's armed forces, Ilya Yevlash, said that Russia has accumulated a large force in the sector and is currently launching a powerful thrust towards Chasiv Yar. Chasiv Yar lies around 10 kilometers west of Bakhmut and 50 kilometers north of Avdiivka, two settlements that Russia captured in May 2023 and February 2024, respectively. The railway Russia is constructing in the occupied territories of Ukraine, which leads to Crimea, is a serious challenge and an important target for Kyiv, Andriy Yusov, a spokesperson of Ukraine's military intelligence, said on March 21st. Moscow started the construction of a railroad between Russia's port city Rostov-on-Don and occupied Crimea, which would run via occupied Donetsk, Mariupol in Donetsk Oblast, and Berdyansk in Zaporizhia Oblast. The railroad will likely serve as an alternative to the Crimean Bridge, which Russia currently uses as a logistics route to resupply its forces in Crimea. However, due to Ukraine's frequent attacks on Crimea, the bridge is not fully operational, Yusov said. They are not satisfied with what is happening with the Crimean Bridge, he said, therefore they are trying to strengthen the railroad connection. Yusov said that it's Ukraine's mission to prevent Russia from completing the construction. The Executive Board of the International Monetary Fund approved a third review of Ukraine's $15.6 billion loan program. This decision enables the release of $880 million designated for budget support, bringing the total disbursement to $5.4 billion, the IMF announced on March 21st. The international lender emphasized that Ukraine continues to face exceptionally high risks, mainly due to uncertainties related to the ongoing war with Russia and the outlook for external financial support. However, Ukraine Mission Chief Gavin Gray said that the IMF anticipates the war in Ukraine to de-escalate by the end of 2024, according to Reuters. Gray said that Ukraine has maintained a robust performance on the IMF program throughout its initial year, meeting all but one of the quantitative performance criteria. The single discrepancy pertained to tax revenues, which was of minor significance. Ukraine is expected to receive the funds in the coming days. Kristalina Georgieva, managing director of the IMF, emphasized that Ukraine's macroeconomic and financial stability has been preserved despite enormous social and economic costs due to Russia's full-scale invasion. The economy has been resilient, with stronger-than-expected macroeconomic outturns in 2023. Ukraine's performance and commitment under the program has continued to be strong, she said. Steadfast reform momentum to enhance anti-corruption and governance frameworks, including ensuring the effectiveness of anti-corruption institutions, will be essential to help contain fiscal risks, enhance growth, and support the path to EU accession. Since the beginning of its full-scale invasion on February 24, 2022, Russia has lost 433,840 troops in Ukraine, the General Staff of Ukraine's Armed Forces reported on March 21st. This number includes 750 casualties Russian forces suffered just over the previous day. According to the report, Russia has also lost 6,832 tanks, 13,074 armored fighting vehicles, 14,242 vehicles and fuel tanks, 10,740 artillery systems, 1,018 multiple launch rocket systems, 721 air defense systems, 347 airplanes, 325 helicopters, 8,365 drones, 26 ships and boats, and a submarine. And that's the news from Ukraine for today. Coming to you courtesy the Kyiv Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. For more up-to-date news stories as they happen, visit their website, kyivindependent.com, and make sure to follow them on social media. To allow this independent Ukrainian news team to continue delivering you news from on the ground in Ukraine, please consider becoming a member at kyivindependent.com.
Дворі червоніє, синіє далина, десь вогник розгорівся, хтось пісню погочина, коли на крилях ночі на землю сон злетить, я в темний гай виходжу з квітками. Ночі на землю сон злетить, я в темний гай виходжу з квітками гомонить. Мені шептала роза, я бачила його. Учора вранці рвав він квітки з куща мого. Шептав мені барвінок, я його зустрічав. Засмучений ходив він, весь світ мій поготоптав. Шептав мені барвінок, я його зустрічав. Засмучений ходив він, весь світ мій поготоптав.
And a lovely young Ukrainian singer recently on the scene, that was Sofika Leshishak and Nadvori Chervonia, a song about the sunset outside the door. Before the break, you heard from Jacqueline, spelled J-K-L-N, originally from Ukraine, now living in Germany, and welcome to Ukraine. Coming up next is a group called Hulyai Dusha and Oite Halya, a tragic story about a young girl who defies her mother and ends up meeting a very nasty fate. Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос», радіо нашого коріння на багатомовній радіостанції АМ 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим, цими словами мудрості. Все так буває, що кожен собі здоров'ю та щастя бажає. And our proverb of the week translates as, it is so that everyone wants health and happiness. And with that, we've come to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. Just a reminder that the Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos can be heard in the Vancouver listening area on CHLY 101.7 FM Wednesdays at 11 a.m. If you miss our on-air or live stream broadcast, you'll find the podcast at our website, www.nashholos.com. And, of course, you can also find Nash Holos on your favorite podcast app. Well, our time is up, so we'll wrap things up with a real blast from the past, Al Cherney, and his golden violin from many years ago, and a medley of Ukrainian folk songs. I'm Pavlina, on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening, and Dobranich!
Зарайте нам хопака!
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.